This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, maybe their team doesn't like each other then if they don't have group chats, but I think that that's just a player, and enjoying those opportunities. So I think that our team does not care about anything that they say, and there's been a lot of chatter and talk from individuals, but we care about one thing in this room, and we have millions of people that are watching us and supporting us around this country, and we're very prideful in playing for them and the guys in the room. It's an opportunity of a lifetime for us.
Team USA winger Matthew Tkachuk, referring to some comments by Brandon Hagel, who he fought off the opening faceoff of Saturday night's preliminary round robin game. I've been using preliminary. It was round robin part of the thing, whatever. Tournament this short, it's everything just happened so fast. But I guess Hagel afterward caught wind of the fact that the Americans, Brady and Matthew in particular, and JT Miller all copped to, we had a group chat going talking about how we wanted to do this, start these fights at the beginning of the game. And Hagel took some sort of a shot at that. And that's Tkachuk reacting to that. And so I'm expecting none of that kind of stuff. I think you're going to see a high-tempo, fast-paced, physical hockey game tonight. I would just be surprised if there's more of that. I don't think Canada should feel inclined to answer what happened on Saturday from that standpoint, from a fisticuffs standpoint, nor do I think Team USA should be interested in reestablishing it. Like, they did what they wanted to do on Saturday, and they ended up winning the game, and they're meeting again tonight. So I'm expecting cooler heads, but again, I'll say it. I didn't see what happened at the beginning on Saturday coming. It was a jaw dropper for sure. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has been away this week. Zach Jones is here with me today. We'll get some football in at the top of the hour on the Browns, and then lots of hockey in the back half of the show. Joe Yurden at 5, covering the NHL for Bleacher Report. He was in Montreal for the front end of this thing, so we'll touch base with Joe. Been a while for me anyway. Since I've talked to Joe, and then Paul Hamilton will be on closer to the back end of the show here at 6 o'clock is when we've got Paul scheduled. For now, it's just us hanging out, man, talking some hockey. 803-0550 is the phone number. How long's it been for you since you've been this jacked about a hockey game? I mean, we live in Buffalo. It's tough. The pickings have been slim. For me, I go back. For me, it would be Game 7 against Philadelphia in 11, by the way, if I haven't said that directly. I was really dialed in 2010 for the Olympics with Ryan Miller in goal for Team USA, playing for a gold medal. But, well, 2011 is after 2010, so I got a cop to being that jacked about that Philly series in 2011. It's one of the biggest letdown Game 7s I've ever experienced in my life, too. The Sabres were just, they were hurt, but they were just a no-show in a Game 7, and it was very tough to watch. So anyway, that's my answer to that question. But really, anything goes on this tournament, on tonight. How you're looking at it is what I'm here for. 803-0550 is the number. Sam is first up this segment. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Chris, thanks. What a refreshing afternoon talking hockey instead of wide receivers and $15 million halfbacks. This is so much fun. Thanks.
Good. You're welcome.
I was in Vancouver. I'm an American living in Canada. And I was in Vancouver. It was such a gut punch. Never got over it. But after the Bills, my favorite team on earth is USA Hockey. And I've been waiting my whole life, I think, for this game to happen and us to win. So I'm really excited about it. I'm just super happy that you're spending all the time on it. Thanks, Chris.
Sure thing, Sam. Yeah. I mean, do you go back to 96? Because Team USA beat...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a long time ago now. It's not as recent as these other examples that I've cited, Vancouver Olympics and the Sabres in the playoffs, although you're not really bringing up the Sabres at all. But 96 was awesome. I remember that. That was a 2 out of 3, and USA took game 3 to win it. These players right now, what Team USA has... I wouldn't want to say the same flippantly about Canada's loaded with talent too, obviously, with MacKinnon and McDavid and Makar, I mean, three and Crosby, four of the very best players in the world. Team Canada's had teams with Gretzky and Lemieux on the same line. Like they've had teams like this before. I think the big difference in this series and in this era is what Team USA can put on the ice. Because you don't have a player as decorated as Crosby, nor I think as talented as McDavid or MacKinnon. To me, Matthews, Jack Hughes are at the top end of this Team USA roster. If Quinn Hughes were there, I'd say he might be as comparable to Makar as you're going to get. But I think McDavid and MacKinnon are a cut above even Matthews and Hughes, splitting hairs, Jack Eichel. But overall, a team that's got those three guys on it, Eichel, Matthews, Jack Hughes, and is supplemented by guys like the Tkachuk brothers and Dylan Larkin playing a complementary role, is the best looking Team USA team I've ever seen. To me, it's just not even close. And again, I love that 96 team, but that's the difference, I think, right now between the two countries is Team USA has comparable star power. Again, I think McDavid and MacKinnon and Makar are better than any of their counterparts on Team USA, but the group that Team USA has at the very top end of their roster is the best I've ever seen. It just is. And hopefully there's more of that coming. Because I think they've really closed that gap of the high end players. And this tournament has been a pleasure to watch. And in goal, they're much better than Canada. There have been column inches written the past 2 weeks about what Canada's goaltending development problem is, because they're leaning on Jordan Binnington. And I mean, I guess he could have a great game tonight, but I wouldn't bet on him over Hellebuyck at all. Thanks again for the call, Sam. And I hope you get your wish. Mark is next up. Hi, Mark. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Chris? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I'm on board with everything you're saying. But I think the NHL got this right. I mean, it's a short tournament. You look at football, they turn the Pro Bowl into a flag football. You look at the NBA, they barely break a sweat in these All-Star appearances. But you look at this game, I'm shocked at the level of play that these guys are bringing. It's amazing to me that they're playing this hard. And I think part of it has to do with Canadian fans booing the national anthem. I think that lit a fire under them to a certain extent. I'm starving for hockey just like you are. Mm-hmm. I watch every Sabres game. I've been a fan for 50-some years. I've been to playoff games, finals for the Stanley Cup. I haven't been excited about anything the way I am to watch this. And I really can't believe that the players – and the teams are allowing this type of hard-hitting game for an exhibition. I mean, that check that McDavid took last week
from McAvoy.
Boards,
which, yep.
Was yeah. Well, I mean, it was just unbelievable. You know, here you have probably the most talented hockey player on earth out there, not only getting hit, but taking a hit and playing the game full force. This has been a pleasure to watch, and I can't say enough about, you know, what they did here, putting this together. And like you said, a short turnaround, you know, so you can get right into it. It progresses fast, and then it's over back to the regular season for us. That's unfortunate. And as far as what not having a dog in the fight, you know, with respect to having a player, right, I think we've all been used to watching our star players take off, the Eichels, the Reinhardts, the Allmarks, the O'Reillys. I mean, you can go on and on with the list that we have wasted in this area for horrible reasons. And you know, people criticize Jack Eichel, but I'm going to say it's my opinion that if I was Jack Eichel, I would have done anything to get off that team. He had so much talent, as you know, as you can see in his play. You know, O'Reilly wins a cup. Montour, Reinhardt win a cup. Allmark, you know, you go on and on with the list. I mean, and Eichel did the same thing. So I'm not bruised. My ego's not bruised that we don't have anybody. We do have people out there. They were on our team. We just wasted them.
All right, Mark, I appreciate the call. Yeah, full credit to the NHL. Your point about what the other all-star exhibitions have become in the other sports is well taken. I dearly hope, I mean, really, that the NHL does not. I mean, next year is Olympics, so that's it. I'm assuming there will be no all-star break because of the Olympic break. And then the year after that is another world championship, right? No, it's going to be 2 years after. So there'll be a year in between there, right? I think where they could try at 26-27 will be a year without any of this scheduled, right? That's it moving forward. Olympics next year, 2 years after that is the next, like, are they calling it the World Cup of Hockey again? I think where there'll be eight nations involved. We'll see about Russia, I suppose. But I really hope they do not try to stuff some kind of an all-star weekend down our throats in the year where there isn't this international best-on-best opportunity, because there's just no use for it at all. And seeing what we're seeing here, you want to give the guys a week off in the season? Great. I don't need you to have an all-star game. We can skip it permanently, because, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I didn't watch a minute of Pro Bowl coverage. I didn't watch a minute of All-Star NBA coverage. I saw some stuff that, you know, guys were cheating the skills competition at the NBA or cutting corners and looking at it. What am I even watching? What is this? And meanwhile, on Saturday night, we had the Tkachuk brothers and JT Miller and McDavid and Eichel and everyone here doing what they were doing. It's a great showcase. I do hope that this McAvoy situation, and even Shea Theodore to an extent, who got hurt in the very first game of the tournament and is going to miss probably the rest of the regular season for the Vegas Golden Knights. McAvoy's hospitalized with an infection that it seems came from a shot of some kind he was given to be able to play on Saturday night. I mean, these are players that matter in playoff races. I really hope the NHL does not get pressured by owners and general managers to scale this sort of thing back, because the players love it. And man, I'll bet as much as they want to be there for their teams, I think they would take going all out in a tournament like this 100 times out of 100. The pride and to be a part of something so special and to see it embraced like it's been embraced, not just by hockey fans, but by the sports world. You got to just find a way to set whatever. There are problems. Like, it's easy for me to say, I don't have a team in a playoff race. I don't have a player in this tournament. I mean, we had Dahlin and Joakim Haru and UPL, but the Sabres are, you know, miles away from it mattering if those guys finish the season or not. If they were in a wild card race, maybe it would be a different story. for me, like with the Bruins or with the Canucks, who, you know, Quinn Hughes did not want to travel across the country if he wasn't absolutely guaranteed an opportunity to play because he's coming back from injury and Vancouver's in a playoff race, and, like, I respect that. You just have to leave this as it is and let it grow. And every couple years, revisit it and have it again and not be scared off by the damage that gets done to individual players and or their teams, because I think the bigger picture is that this has been awesome for the fans to watch. And that's why they're all there, is to be awesome for the fans to watch. And this has been as awesome as hockey has been in a long, long time, at least for residents in Buffalo, New York, for sure. 803-0550 is the number. We'll squeeze in a few more calls before we get to the top of the hour. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep is on vacation this week. Thanks for listening to WGR.